Hi, my name is Tom and this is the Too Much for 10 Seconds podcast. I started this podcast because I was writing an Instagram story post and I found I had too much to write for a text-based story post, the limit being around 10 seconds, although it might have been a bit quicker. And so I decided to start this. And if you like this podcast, please do subscribe, follow and share so that I can grow this podcast and make it the group effort which I want it to be. I want to make it very interactive, and depending on where you listen to me on, that can be very possible. If you connect to me on Instagram at TMFTS Podcast, you can take part in polls which directly contribute to episodes and things I'll be talking about, where I'll be sort of gauging your excitement levels for films and doing various other things that you can get involved with. If you listen to me on Anchor, you can send me voice messages which I can directly drop into episodes, and that I want you to send me voice messages to do with films that you've seen that may be new or old, films you're looking forward to or just want to recommend. I'm on a bunch of different services: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Stitcher and SoundCloud. And as I say, Anchor if you want to get in touch with me with a voice message. So yeah, let's kick this episode off. Enjoy! Hi, so basically I'm going to start this episode by doing something a bit differently. I'll move on to talking about the favourite and other things later on, but just a couple of quick things. The first thing is that there's a petition going on at the moment to get Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, you know, back to being made again, because it was cancelled by Netflix, as was Luke Cage. As of now, The Punisher hasn't been cancelled, but the series 2 of that's coming out quite soon, and then Jessica Jones hasn't been cancelled, but I'm not sure what the current situation is with that. So there is a petition going on. There's a really long link, but basically if you go to www.change.org and type in something along the lines of Save Daredevil, you should be able to find that on the search. And the other thing I want to mention is that the EE Rising Star Award vote is now open after the, you know, after the BAFTA nominations being released. There's a bunch of people, and there was two people that I thought stood out for me in particular. There's Lakeith Stanfield, who's been in Sorry to Bother You and Get Out, but the person I voted for was Letitia Wright, who was in Black Panther, Ready Player One, and Avengers Infinity War. So if you just go to the ee.co.uk website, I guess you have to be based in the UK, and just find the Rising Star voting form. It's really easy to find. So I just wanted to mention those, but we'll start the episode properly now. Cheers. So with those, you know, those couple of things that I've mentioned out of the way, just because I thought I'd, well, basically what I'm going to start doing in this podcast is, if I have something to say aside from the reviews, I'm going to use these episodes just to, you know, to talk about anything else. But now let's get into the meatiness of this episode, and that is where I talk about The Favourite, directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. If you've listened to my January Cinema Add to List episode, you'll know that this was one of the films which I was super excited to see, and I'm just going to go through all of the things that I liked about it. So first things first, it's a very unconventional film just in general, but for a costume film it just feels like such a breath of fresh air. And costume dramas and comedies in future, I think, have an excellent reference with The Favourite of how to make period pieces relevant and engaging for a modern audience while still catering to the conventions of the people, you know, the conventions that, you know, traditional period drama fans like. I think it really does cater to both types of markets. So that's definitely a big standout. So it's conventional, but unconventional at the same time, and I think that is one of the big things that stuck with me. And what I try and do with these episodes is wait like 24 hours and see what really stands out to me after 24 hours, rather than doing it very soon after seeing a film, because I want to make these episodes reflect something, the real standout key points within a film, rather than just what I feel as soon as I come out of the cinema. The performances in this film from the leads are excellent, and they're all so different in motives and all such haunted characters in their own ways, although they appear to be friendly, that does not last. But that being said, it doesn't just become entertaining as it gets beefy. It's a whirlwind ride that made me feel happy from the wit, sharp dialogue and delivery, and bravery to be out there and own the weirdness. The characterization is a big plus in this film. It's way more of a character study than a plot-driven piece of work, so please be aware of that before seeing the film. If you're not into films where it doesn't really have much of a plot, and I don't know if you'd necessarily enjoy this, but I feel like you should definitely give it a chance anyway, just like you should with any films that aren't necessarily plot driven. This is definitely a character piece and a character study, and in to be honest, it's more kind of almost like vignettes of, like, you know, each of the leads almost. But I'd say if you, lead wise, I feel like Emma Stone is the main lead, and she's kind of like the anchor for, like, Rachel Weisz and Olivia Colman, you know, to be around. Like, it's hard to say who is the ultimate lead. It's the obvious one would be Olivia Colman, who plays Queen Anne. But I think Emma Stone for me seems like a real standout in this film. Now, I was having this discussion with someone whereby I was trying to think of actors and actresses where they haven't had a bad film that I've seen. And I think Emma Stone is one of those people who, like, when you look at her filmography, like Superbad, Easy A, Zombieland, La La Land, now, like, The Favourite, The Help as well. There's a bunch of other things, and I really feel like she's one of the most solid people working today. And not just solid, but constantly, like, innovating herself. And in this film, you're not getting just a typical sort of performance from her. And it's not the typical kind of character you'd imagine her to play. There's a lot of darkness within her, and she's animalistic in the sense that she's sort of, like, wanting to survive in this film, and so she does what she needs to survive, because she's fallen on hard times, well, in relative terms, hard times, in the past, and so, like, obviously she's been well off and things in her life, but, like, personal issues, family issues, I mean, in that regard, that she's fallen on hard times, and I think that's what you really need to keep in mind with this character, that she's very, very layered, and there's darkness to her, but, you know, there is light, and you can still see that there is good elements to her character. She's not really, I wouldn't say she's the traditional villain or anything like that, and I think they're all horrible in their own way. But I'd say out of all of them, Queen Anne has her behaviour a lot more justified, and I think what they've managed to do with a character, like, just like playing a queen in general, you'd expect a certain type of behaviour, but because of the loss of, like, I don't know, it's like over a dozen children at a very young age, like basically not even getting past the age of one or 6 months or even 3 months, I don't think. It's, you can see how her character is haunted and how she's, that she takes things out on people, and she just tries to find anything she can to make her feel happy, which is completely justified in that sense. Like, obviously, anyone would do what they need to do to become happy, and she doesn't really exert her power in this film as a queen, and her responsibilities are left more towards Rachel Weisz's character, who is part of the love triangle between Queen Anne and Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz's character, and I think that triangle and that dynamic and how it just feels so unconventional. It's not really a triangle, in the sense that, like, it's not about true love in a lot of ways. It's just, and The Favourite is a very clever title for this film. I think that's a key thing to remember with this when you're watching it, that The Favourite makes it's like a competition. You know, to be favoured. It's not a love triangle in the sense that there's any romance, really. Not in the true sense of the word. It's more, there is love in the film, but it's love in terms of being loved by a queen, and not in, like, in the romantic partner type of sense. It's a true story, and it's not, and from what I know, from what other people have said about it, it's not too jazzed up for the screen, and it's not too far away from the truth, which makes this film all the more entertaining and surprising. Like, I didn't really know anything about this film in general going into it, other than the fact that there was some sort of triangle at play, some sort of love triangle of some kind, and I didn't even really see a trailer that went into too much depth. I think I saw quite an early one, which wasn't really showing too much, And I actually saw a trailer on the day that I'm recording this episode. I saw a trailer for it because I was telling someone else to watch it. And I said for them to play the trailer, and they did. And the trailer makes it look great. And it's very reflective of the film. So I don't know which trailer that was, but it was a very well represented. It was a, you know, it represented the film very well. But yeah, I went into it with very little prior knowledge historically and of the film. And that really helped, I think. So what I do suggest is to go into this film without doing any prior research whatsoever, other than like all you really need to know is that it has Olivia Colman, Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz, Nicholas Hoult, and Mark Gatiss, or Gatiss, is in it as well. And I'd say they're kind of the main people in this film, really. But there's a bunch of other people, like, who, you know, in much smaller roles, who get very good speaking roles, despite them having quite, you know, small amounts of screen time. One of the other things I really like is the cinematography. It feels so fresh, and it's very appealing, and it furthers the power of how modern and relevant this film is, despite it being set so long ago. Like, the shots are absolutely stunning. It's so well storyboarded, but there are shots which feel like ad-libbed, as in, like, there's an energy to the camera work which feels at times like so kinetic and on the fly to catch performance whilst also sticking to a plan. And the shots that are planned, as well as the ones that are improvised or feel improvised, are just so married up, you know, so well married up. I think the big thing to expect from this film is that it's something that's very dark and very funny, almost like interchangeably. Like tonally, I think, say if you liked the shock factor of something like Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, you'd be put in good stead for this film. Obviously, it's very different in its quirkiness to Three Billboards, but I think in a lot of ways, like, also even like Mother, if you've seen the film Mother with Jennifer Lawrence in, I think those kind of films, like Three Billboards, Mother, would put you in good stead for seeing this type of film. And then maybe like even quirky films, like, I don't know, like Napoleon Dynamite or Nacho Libre, just something. Like, if you appreciate very niche humour and very sharp, witty dialogue, and you're prepared to pay attention for the whole time, you really will be rewarded with, like, very, very, very good comedy and very clever and, yeah, very clever comedy. And there's like, it's not a spoiler, but it's just one scene which I particularly found hilarious. And it's where Queen Anne does her makeup, but she's sort of, like, been out of tricks for a little while, and, like, she, you know, her makeup's, like, sort of, like, she's not had to wear makeup for a while. And there's a scene where Rachel Weisz's character calls Olivia Colman's character, Queen Anne, like, she basically says that she looks like a badger. So it's just tiny little, like, things that all, like, build up and make. And it's not a straight comedy. There is a lot more darkness and drama to this film, and kind of, like, even a bit of horror, really. And even tiny little bits of, like, thriller in there, but it's kind of, but I really feel like the humour stands out in this film, even though it's only like one component of it. I definitely expect to be shocked and surprised by everything. I know that's obviously like backwards to say, like, to be, you know, expect to be surprised and shocked, but like, I feel like it's important with these types of film, like this type of film. Like, Yorgos Lanthimos is a very one-off type of director. I've mentioned The Lobster in maybe one or two episodes before, and which was also directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. I haven't seen the film he did between that and The Favourite, which was The Killing of a Sacred Deer, but I really feel like his voice is very clear and very powerful and very unique. And very worthwhile voice in cinema. I really did love this film, and I think it's a true one-off. The director's a true one-off, and I feel like these performances are just, you won't really see these actresses doing something quite the same again in anything else that they do, and that's special. Like, that's how I think a great word to describe this film. It's a special film, and one that I feel like you could rewatch and, you know, gain more from each time you watch it. And There's things that are left in, up to interpretation, which is refreshing in modern cinema, because a lot of the times you are spoon-fed information, and or you're left on cliffhangers that might not even be like met with like satisfying conclusions. So at least in this, it's obvious that you are left with things that you should, you know, consider yourself. And I think it's important to, give an audience a takeaway message and something to come and go and chew on, basically, and to have a good think about. I really hope that this influences the period drama genre in general going forward. And yeah, I feel like they're my instinctive favourite things about the favourite. I basically said to myself mentally, do not make a joke about the fact that the film's called The Favourite, but there we go, I did. I'm sorry. There is something else that I want to talk about. From now on, in future episodes, and including this one, I'm going to be talking about things, as well as films that I've seen at the cinema, I'm going to be talking about anything else which I've been watching. It might be a vlog which stands out to me, it might be a TV show or a film, and that's what I'm going to start doing from now on. So I'm going to start by saying that if you've listened to my Add to List Cinema episode, you'll know that I haven't seen either Unbreakable or Split, and I really wanted to watch Glass. So I decided to watch Unbreakable and Split over the last few days prior to this podcast being recorded, this episode. And I've got to say that I have not seen any M. Night Shyamalan films. I've still got to see The Sixth Sense. You can't spoil it for me because, like, I'm stupid. I should have watched it earlier. It's already been spoiled for me by, like, parodies and people riffing on it on TV and films. So you can't spoil it for me, even if you wanted to. Not really. And I really feel like Split and Unbreakable are just so good together. Like, now I know the fact that they're linked as well. I feel like it was a great time to watch them both. Like, it would have been completely different for those people who'd have watched Unbreakable in the year 2000, I think it came out in, and then to have watched Split and not really be sure that they're linked. But now that I know, but having the knowledge that they are linked, it really, I think, helped the both of those films for me and made them even better. I think out of the two, I couldn't really say which one I liked more, because I really feel like they're just so well, they mesh so well together. I don't really know if M. Night Shyamalan had the plan to like create a shared universe, whether or not he's just riffing on the fact that like the shared universe is like a commonplace in Hollywood now, with like the MCU or the DCEU, or I don't know, like if the Universal Monster universe comes into play. I don't know if that will actually happen now. I liked The Mummy with Tom Cruise. Sorry if that's an unpopular opinion, but I did. So I really do hope that they carry on making those films, in the general universe. I think that Split, if I had to choose, maybe I did like Split slightly more. But Unbreakable, I think, really does have its own charm. And although it was probably more predictable, it's a lot more, I mean, they're both kind of predictable. And from what I've heard of M. Night Shyamalan, I thought it would be less predictable, like, but not predictable, like, fully, but roughly predictable, like. There wasn't really twists per se. One thing I appreciated about Unbreakable though was the ending, and the fact that it wasn't concerned with just completely like ripping off comic books. It was just like loosely based off the whole concept of comic books. And then Split was much more comic book centric, but it still wasn't concerned with being similar to a comic book. I think James McAvoy's performance in Split, now I've seen it, I really feel like that should have got a lot more attention for awards. To have played, I mean, he didn't play every personality really, like he wasn't credited as playing every personality. He has 24 personalities, but I think he mainly played maybe like 8 or 9 or 10 or something like that, but it's still a lot, like, you know, and not just for that reason should he have got more attention, but there was things that he was doing, like such clever things. Like, you've got to remember, he's got a fairly heavy Scottish accent, and he was putting on like very, very specific American accents. He was playing a child, a nine-year-old child called Hedwig. And then he was playing much older characters. He played a woman, and he played a character called, I won't spoil that. But definitely check out Unbreakable and Split, because they're both linked to Glass, and I really feel like Glass could be a big standout for this year. It stars Bruce Willis, it stars James McAvoy and Samuel L. Jackson, and also Sarah Paulson, who, if you've seen American Horror Story, you'll be well aware of. And she's also in What Women Want, which must be one of her earlier roles, but just thought it'd be a bit funny and chuck that one in there. It's a decent film. I like that film. I like a lot of films which are probably unpopular, but there we go. That's just me. And that's how I'm going to end this episode. A bit different, but I'm going to keep trying to develop this podcast. I'm sorry for all the stutters and pauses. It's just, I want to keep this podcast natural as possible. Like, there's going to be like edits and things, but that's all part of it. But at the same time, I want to keep it as natural as possible and just be as, you know, frank and just, yeah, fluid as possible. And yeah, I'm just rolling with it, and I'm really hoping that you're enjoying these episodes. If you do enjoy these episodes, please make sure to do all the good stuff, like share the podcast on Twitter. You can do that easily enough, you know. You can just, there's like a share option on basically every app nowadays, so share the podcast, subscribe on whatever listening platform you listen to this podcast on, and follow it as well, because that's the alternative to subscribing on some podcasts. And please leave a review, which I never mentioned before, but please leave a review, because it can make all the difference in me actually growing this podcast. And I'd prefer to be honest about the fact that I want to grow it, because it's obvious really that I want to grow this thing, and I hope you like respect that and appreciate that. And thank you very much for listening. It's really surprising that people are actually listening to this thing. Like, and I got a really nice message the other day, and that's like helped me to realize that it is a good thing that I'm doing. And I think it's a good thing that I'm complimenting films and just telling you what films I like, because it's just a natural part of life. Like, people are like, oh, did you see anything at the weekend? And then you get told what someone's seen at the weekend, and they say, you should definitely watch it. And then you go and watch it. So I'm just basically that person, just talking to you like one of those friends. Yeah. That's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening. See you later for another episode of Too Much 10 Seconds. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.